Vegetarian, real one. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in Nainital in India in 1919. My father was Indian Army.
Were you educated in Britain or in India?
I was educated at the Imperial Service College, which is now joined up with Haileybury. And then I went to Sandhurst.
Which years are we talking about that you were at Sandhurst?
I was at Sandhurst in 1938 to 1939, and I was the last term from Sandhurst, which did the full 18 months prior to Second World War.
So I suppose, as far as you were concerned, a career in the Indian Army was never in question.
Oh, it was never in question, no.
Had you any worries about, at that time, about how long a career in the Indian Army might last?
One was a very young man at 18, and one didn't really think too much about the future. I don't think I thought about it at all.
What did you think of your course at Sandhurst?
I thought the course at Sandhurst was absolutely brilliant. It was tough. Sergeant Major Hoey, who was our Sergeant Major, greeted us with the words, "Gentlemen, I have to call you gentlemen, and you call me staff, but as far as I am concerned, you are the lowest form of animal life in the British Army."
So what did that mean in terms of how he treated you?
Well, they were wonderful, wonderful staff. No bullying, very hard, very strict discipline. And if you stepped out of line, you learned very quickly that you had stepped out of line.
Did you step out of line?
Yes, I did. I was a very bossy fellow in a lot of ways. But I was successful in the fact that I was a boxing blue and was never beaten whilst I was at Sandhurst. And I also ran for Sandhurst. But I was rather a bolshy cadet.
In what sense, bolshy?
I'm a bit of a loner, and if I don't agree with something, I make it very clear that I don't agree with this.
Were you stamped on, as they say?
In a gentlemanly manner, yes. I was told after my second term that I wasn't doing as well as I should do by my company commander. And I made a bit of a mess of my second term, in actual fact, as I've written in my book. But I pulled myself together in the last term and did fairly well. I passed out, I forget the figures, about 97 out of 230.
Did you have to endure any punishments at Sandhurst?
None that was not self-inflicted, no.
What did you feel when war was declared?
On the day that war was declared, I, in actual fact, was in the hospital at Murray in India, having gone out to India and got there before the war started, with dysentery. The mind is a bit blurred about what one thought. I think in those days, young men of my age were rather naive in thinking deeply about such things as war and everything else.
We switched it all. Do I understand then that in September 1939 you were in India? Are you talking about
Yes, I was in India then. I left England. I think it was the 1st of August 1939. Went straight out to India. Not stopping. We stopped at Cairo. Or Port Said, rather.
So, which regiments had you wanted to join?
I'd wanted to join the Baluchis. My father had lots of friends in the Baluchis, one of which was the colonel of the 2nd 10th, which I joined, Harold Briggs, who went on to command Burma in the end, and of course was responsible for the Briggs plan of Malaya afterwards, and in which he wasn't given the real kudos.
And was it easy to get the regiment of your choice?
In those days, the what one did, you listed 3 regiments, and you then went and spent a week with these regiments. And they vetted you and saw whether they wanted you or not. I think I better make it clear now that in your first year in India as a young officer, you were attached to a British regiment to learn the language, learn the customs of the country, and generally get stabilised. I didn't spend the whole year because of the war. I spent about 6 months with the Worcestershire Regiment, who were very good to me. Some regiments treated their unattached list Indian Army officers not quite so well as the Worcestershire Regiment treated us.
What might they do to such potential Indian officers?
Well, you can understand their views. They had these 3 or 4 officers attached to them, and they knew in actual fact that after a year they were going to lose the services of these officers, so they weren't really, you could hardly give these officers much more than the platoon to command, and they weren't going on, but it was extremely valuable for the unattached Indian Army officer.
What did the Worcesters do for you, which you particularly appreciated?
Well, it was rather lucky, because with the Worcestershire Regiment, we went up on the northwest frontier of India. We weren't committed to any form of battle. There was no campaign going on at the time. But if you went up on the frontier and you didn't do what you were told and what was listed that the warfare was wanted. I mean, how, I'm not putting this very well, but mountain warfare was a set piece, really. And if you stepped out of it, you were quite likely to be shot at by a Pathan.
Whereabouts were you on the frontier?
We went up to Peshawar. We were only training, but we did mountain warfare training up there.
Can you tell me about starting with the 2nd 10th Baluch?
Yes, I joined the 2nd 10th Baluch in Bareilly. Shortly after joining, the company which I was with went up to Nainital, where I had been born, to do Governor's Guard. And then very shortly after that, it became obvious that we were to join the 8th Indian Infantry Brigade to go overseas. Didn't really know where we were going. I mean, we arrived at Bombay with our transport painted for the desert, and suddenly found we were going to Singapore.
When would this have been about?
This is about October 40.
40 or 41?
40. And then we went to Singapore.
With what kind of morale did everybody go off to Singapore?
Well, the problem was, and I think every Indian Army officer realized this, even the most junior like myself, that the Indian Army was expanding at a tremendous rate, and your seasoned NCOs who'd been with the regiment for years were suddenly taken away from you to form another battalion. This happened with signalers, machine gunners, transport drivers. You trained the Indian to drive a 1500 weight truck, which was quite a dangerous pastime. And then he was taken from you, and you started all over again. And this continued right the way through to the outbreak of war. And I don't think that historians have made this point. I think it was different in the desert, where the troops were actually engaged in warfare. But in Malaya, we were very much at the bottom of the barrel for everything. And we lost. We must have lost 50% of trained sepoys and officers as well.
What particular job were you initially given in the regiment?
When we went up to Kelantan, in the regiment, I was just a platoon commander and then a company commander. But when we went up to Kelantan, we landed in Singapore, in tented accommodation around Changi, if I remember rightly. Then we went up to Kelantan, which was the place where the Japanese did their original landing. They landed there, in actual fact, I think 35 minutes before they hit Pearl Harbor. But when I got up there, I became brigade intelligence officer.
Before that, when you were a platoon and company commander, which particular kind of troops were you in charge of?
I was with Pathans.
What were they like?
Oh, wonderful. I think the Pathan is one of the finest fighting men in the world. And that has been proved, hasn't it? Because we fought them in two wars and got beaten. They are the only nation that has beaten us twice at war. And the Russians didn't do too well against them either, did they?
No. Were they loyal to the Crown?
They were loyal to their officers. And they were loyal to their regiment. They were a type of person that I have always admired and still do. If they did something, they expected you to do it as well, if not better. So you had to set a high standard as an officer.
So the Crown meant absolutely nothing to them.
It was part and parcel of their life, wasn't it? The Indian Army recruited. Father was in it, grandfather had been in it, and son came in it. Very much so as the Gurkhas are now. You had to set a fairly high standard, I think. As once again I said in my book, you have approximately 13 officers in an Indian Army regiment, or you had. In a British British regiment, you had something like 35. Now, if you had a bad one in 13, he stuck out. And the men just did not like him and made it perfectly clear. Don't forget the Subedar Major, which is the company sergeant major of the... had been in there for years.
Did you have bad ones?
No, I don't remember any bad officers at all.
But how would you...
myself, maybe.
But how would you know this? That
well, the men would tell you. A little story. My father came up to visit the regiment when he came... He'd been retired and then he was brought back to India. And he came up to see his old friend Harold Briggs. And at the time I was adjutant. He had known the he'd known the RSM. It's not the RSM, and I've forgotten the word of the same status of the in the Indian Army.
The Jemadar?
No. Subedar was the Subedar Major, sorry, I've got it right now. Subedar Major. And he'd known Barsgall, who was our Subedar Major, on the frontier. My father had known him when he was in one of the campaigns up there. And I remember him saying to Barsgall, "How's my son doing?" And Barsgall said in Pashto to my father, who spoke the language, "The Chokra Sahib might make a good officer in a few years' time, sir." And that was the kind of Bhai Bundi of the Indian Army.
Bhai Bundi?
Bhai Bundi is, what is the English word?
Does Bhai mean brother?
Yes, it's the brotherhood of the Indian Army, if you like it. You've put the words into my mouth. I think you'll find that most people, and there are not many of us left now, were very proud to have served in the Indian Army.
So he called you a Chokra?
Chokra, which is a small boy. He turned round to my father and said, "You're a Chokra." This is a man who had fought in the First World War and Second World War, naturally, and on all the frontier campaigns.
What about their own loyalties back in the Northwest Frontier? Were they to, what would they be to a tribe, a family, or what?
They would be to their tribe and family.
Where did your men come from?
We had Cuttacks and Yousafzais. I'm not dead sure now where the Cuttacks and Yousafzais come from. But the Cuttack was... They were all very big men. the Cuttack wore his hair in a sort of page boy fashion. Yousafzai had his hair cut in exactly the same way as a Punjabi Muslim. But I had a Cuttack orderly. Fazlul Ali, who is, again, written in my book, who is a... I've never known such loyalty as in a man. He was a great man.
How did the Cuttacks and Yousafzais get on with it?
Oh, very well. Very well. In a regiment, you see, for instance, we had the Pathan Company, two companies of Punjabi Muslimmen, and one company of Dogras. Now, Dogras are Hindus, the other two are Muslims. And there was never any problem. Never any problem.
What was the attitude of your men towards fighting the Japanese?
Once again, you must remember that these men were all volunteers. They weren't like the British Army, who were conscripted, virtually. You were called up papers, weren't they?
So, was it just a professional job as far as they were
concerned? It was a professional job as far as they were concerned. If the Saab wanted to have a punch-up with the Japanese, or the Italians, or the Germans, so be it.
Would they have fought anybody?
They would have fought anyone, I think. Don't forget, I was a very young soldier here. I was only... we were talking about me. I was 20, that's all. 21. But I think that their loyalty was to their regiment and the officers in that regiment. I may wax a bit strong about this, but I'm merely talking for my own feelings, thinking back over the years.
What did you tell them about the Japanese enemy?
Now, that's a very, very political question.
Anything at all?
We didn't know an awful lot about them, you know, in Malaya. We knew Can you? I'll come to that when we actually start talking about the year I was in Malaya prior to the war.
Okay, so let's get back to the narrative then of you landing in Singapore.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what happened in the process of landing there and then going up north?
It's a very dim recollection. All I do know is that we went up to Kelantan to these hutted camps that had been built for the three regiments of the brigade, and what our main task was, or the brigade task was beach defences against the invasion of the Japanese, because it had been worked out, I think, long ago and far away, that if the Japanese did attack the Far East, Malaya would be one of the main places because of the tin and the rubber, and the fact that there were a lot of Japanese in Malaya. And it had been worked out that they would land in Thailand and on the east coast of Malaya.
What were the defences like, as far as your brigade were concerned? Were they formidable?
No. We were hamstrung to the point sometimes of exasperation. When you couldn't erect barbed wire defences because the fishing boats had to go out, when you couldn't cut down lines of fire because you mustn't destroy the coconut trees, we weren't playing at it, the brigade, but in my opinion, the whole of the Malayan campaign prior to the start of the war was looked on by higher command and also by the senior civilians as it will never happen here, and the services are a bit of a bloody nuisance.
Any other obstacles which were in your way which were not removed sufficiently?
No, but the actual beach defences were very, very thin on the ground. If you had one regiment covering two beaches, 3 to 4 miles long, I really forget the width of the beaches, but the pillboxes where they are, but they were very, very weak defences, really. We weren't allowed to lay mines till practically the start of the campaign.
Did you have enough mines?
No, I don't think so. We didn't have enough anything. You must remember, of course, now we're talking a bit forward on, that the Japanese were highly professional troops. The Chrysanthemum Division, which landed against us, they'd been training for jungle warfare for a year. They were battle-hardened. These troops had been fighting in China for, 10 years?
What type of things did you have to do as intelligence officer?
My main job was my intelligence section. I had 15 men, I think it was about 15 men, Indian troops from the various regiments. Our main job was to actually map Kelantan, because the maps of Kelantan were very, very vague. They merely showed the main roads. And our job was to recce the jungle, the tracks, and try and bring the map as much as we could up to date, so that the troops on the ground at least knew somewhere where they could go and how they could move, rather than just head for a main road. It took quite a long time. Kelantan's not a small state. I love Malaya. I loved the jungle. I learned enough of the language in about 3 months to push off on my own and not get lost and be able to